What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Blinking Nintendo Gaming Podcast. My name is VJ. I'm the host of this program. Thank you for listening. And on today's episode, what we're going to be talking about is a little handheld that I love oh so dearly, and it's going to be about how to collect for the PS Vita. Okay? This is an episode I have been wanting to do for a long time. So this is one of the reasons I came up with this podcast, because I wanted to talk about the PlayStation Vita. But we can't get into the Vita unless we get into some backstory, and we can't get into some backstory about the Vita if we don't include its older brother, the PSP. So let's go into it. Hit my music. Let's talk about the PSP real quick and what led up to the PS Vita being created. So we all know Nintendo. They're world domination when it comes to handheld systems. The Game Boy Advance, the DS, the 3DS have been massive, massive hits. And when it comes to handheld gaming, nobody has a lock better than Nintendo. No one has had a better lock than Nintendo. But one competitor came close to competing with Nintendo, and that competitor was the PSP. And I know the PSP all too well because I've owned so many of those, especially growing up at that time. I loved that little handheld. And in 2004, that thing was revolutionary, to say the least. Why? Well, unlike the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance and the Game Boy Color and the DS that use cartridges, the PSP used UMDs. So they actually used discs to play games. You could hold more memory. The games could look better. Now, you had to have those load times, and you guys know about PSP load times. They were fucking insane. But it did allow to have really, really big games that were technically super advanced for the time. So not only did it play UMDs, it was able to go on the internet. It was able to have movie and video playback, photo playback. It was an all-around media hub. And I know, you know, in 2021, we're kind of spoiled with smartphones that can do everything. But in 2004, the PSP doing all those things was mind-blowing. And at that time, I was about 12, 13 years old, and I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a laptop. So when I had a PSP, that was my access to the internet and my way to watch movies and stuff like that that I didn't have because I didn't have a phone or a laptop. So it was a great handheld, and again, it competed very well against the Nintendo DS. It sold over 80 million units, which is huge, huge. The biggest competitor to Nintendo ever. But for all the good that the PSP had, there were a couple of glaring weaknesses, and the ultimate one, the one that we all know, is that there was no second analog stick. And that was a fucking pain in the ass when it came to playing shooters, platformers, really any game that required any sort of advanced camera control, because you didn't have a second analog, and so a lot of developers would relegate the camera controls to either the shoulder buttons or the face buttons. It just took away functionality from a lot of great games. So that was a huge glaring weakness. And even though I love the PSP, it makes it hard to go back and play a lot of those games because, again, that second analog stick not being there is a huge, huge deterrent from wanting to play those games. So we went ahead and talked about the PSP. Huge success. Even though they didn't beat Nintendo, they were still massively successful, more successful than I thought they would be or most people thought they'd be. So what did they do? They released the PlayStation Vita in 2011 in Japan, 2012 here in North America, and they did so many great things with the Vita. So many great things. As revolutionary as the PSP was in 2004, the Vita, to me, was just as revolutionary in 2011, 2012. The Vita had touchscreen. It had a rear touchpad, so on the back of the system, it actually had touch functionalities, which was pretty cool. Some games actually used it correctly, like Tearaway. They had AAA games that were on there. We're talking Uncharted and Killzones and mainstream titles, not little handheld squeeze games. Like, these are legit AAA games on a handheld. But the most important thing that they did with the Vita was that they fucking put a second analog stick on there. And that was massive. Because the PSP, in all honesty, should have had one. They fucked up with that, and they didn't do it with that. And like I mentioned before, it just made some of the games kind of cumbersome to play. But the Vita having that second analog stick, that was massive. So they did all those things right. But just like the PSP's problem was the no second analog stick, the Vita had a big, big glaring problem as well. And that was it used proprietary memory cards. And we have to understand the times. We're talking 2011, 2012, and Sony coming off that hack and really wanting to show consumers like we care about you guys and we want to show you guys that we want to protect your data and try to make things hack-proof or as hack-proof as possible. And so we're going to only let you guys use proprietary memory cards, which is cool if that's what you want to do. But where they fucked up with that was they made those cards fucking expensive. And how expensive, you ask? Well, let me run through. These are the prices of these memory cards at the time of launch for the Vita, okay? 4 gigabyte memory card, $30. 8 gigabytes, $45. 16 gigabytes, $70. 32 gigabytes, $120. Nearly half of how much the system costs for 32 gigabytes of storage. That was insane. That was insane. And a huge part of why this console ultimately failed was a disaster. But not only was it because of the memory cards, even though that was a big part, another part was it just came out in a wonky time when it came to technology. Because we had mobile gaming that was kind of on the rise. We had tablet gaming that was coming up. And nobody kind of knew what the how this was going to play out. Was mobile and tablet gaming going to take over from handhelds? What was going to win? And so they were in a precarious spot, not only in this technology, but in their own technology of being lumped right in the middle of the PS3 and the PS4. And so when it came out in 2011, 2012, the PS3 came out in 2013. And once that came out, that was really where the focus for Sony was the PS4, because the Vita wasn't flying off the shelves. And why would they put their money into something that wasn't going to make a lot of money as opposed to the PS4, which was? And developers felt the same way. And so they quickly jumped board, a year or two after the release of the Vita, and you stop seeing those AAA games like Uncharted, like Killzone, like Gravity Rush. You stop seeing a lot of those come to the Vita because those developers didn't want to waste, in their eyes, the time, the money, or the resources to put into a handheld that wasn't going to sell very well. You're going to put all this money in and release a game that wasn't going to sell a vast amount of copies. And you knew that ultimately based on overall how many Vitas have been sold in its lifetime, 16 million, which is a mere fraction of the 80 million that the PSP sold. So it was absolutely a failure. But that's fine, because even though it was a commercial failure, I still think, in my opinion, it's the greatest handheld of all time. I think it's completely underrated, and that's why I think people should collect for it, because it is that great of a system. And people are just now starting to realize, okay, yeah, Sony was on something. And it took them a couple years, took them 10 years to figure it out. And trust me, I'm a guilty party. I didn't get into this whole Vita thing until about 2017. So, I was late to the party as well. But there's a lot of late people even later, and they're just now getting into the Vita and realizing, damn, this thing was fucking awesome. And why was it so awesome? Well, it could play different games from different systems. The PSN store on the Vita is fucking awesome. You can purchase PSP games on there. You can purchase PS1 classics on there. Pretty much any major PS1 game you could think of, you can download for relatively cheap. Most of those games cost less than $10. Normally, they're around $6. And also, you can buy Vita games, obviously, from the PSN store. So that's three different consoles that you can play games from on the Vita. And what makes buying PSP games on there even better is that those games take advantage of a second analog stick. So, for instance, if you have Valkyria Chronicles 2, which is a game I love, but is very expensive to own physically, and you buy a digital copy, you can use your second analog stick to control the camera, which obviously you couldn't do on the PSP because it didn't have one. So, the Vita has so many great things, but even more so than that, it could do remote play on the PS4. So, if your PS Vita was connected on the same internet as your PS4, you could actually use your Vita as a screen that your PS4 games would broadcast on. You could control the games through your Vita and look at the games on the Vita. Now, based on your connection, sometimes it would be a little choppy. Sometimes the input would have a little delay. And it ideally isn't the best way to play PS4, obviously. But it's cool if someone's using your TV and you want to play a quick game on PS4, bust out your Vita and use remote play. So I thought that was a really cool functionality that they included. So there's so many great reasons why to collect the PS Vita. So once you figure all that out and you're like, hey, I want to get into this whole Vita collecting thing, you got to figure out what model Vita to get. And unlike the PSP, which had, the PSP 1000, 2000, 3000, the PSP Go, the other one that was in the Europe, I forgot what that was called, but it was like the really dumbed down version of the PSP. They had a couple of models. Well, with the Vita, you only have two. You only have two. And that's going to be the PS Vita 1000 and the PS Vita 2000. And there's a clear-cut winner in this. Just like when it comes to the PSP, there's a clear-cut winner in which PSP to get, which I would recommend the PSP 2000, but that's another story for another day. But just like this, there's a clear winner on which model to get. But I'll give you a little comparison first and tell you which one I believe is the best. So the 1000 model has an OLED screen. It looks amazing. It is kind of chunky. It is a little heavy in the hand. And that's the only drawback I have from that. But it was enough for them to change it up for a couple reasons. One, cost-effective reasons. So when they came out with the 2000 model a couple years later, yeah, they slimmed it down. It was, 20% thinner, 15% lighter, all that good stuff. It actually had a gigabyte of onboard storage on the 2000 model so that, like I mentioned, those memory cards that they released for them were completely outrageously expensive. So having a gigabyte of onboard storage on the 2000 model that you did not have on the 1000 model, I thought was really, really good because, you really can't download massive games on there, but if you're just using it to save games, there you go. You don't have to get a memory card for a little bit, so you can save some money and then, sell a kidney or give blood or plasma away to go ahead and buy an actual memory card. So the one thing is, once you do plug a memory card in that 2000 model, you cannot use the onboard storage. So it's pretty much a Sophie's choice you pick. And obviously you're going to pick the memory card because it's going to be bigger than the 1 gigabyte of onboard storage. But again, the fact that they even had that on there, I think is great. And you also get an extra hour of battery with the 2000 model. That's the one thing. The 1000 model, the battery, not the best. You get maybe 3, 4, maybe 5 hours of gameplay out of that. Not the best battery. And so having that additional hour on the 2000 model is a huge, huge deal, especially if you play a lot of Vita on the go and don't want to be tied to a charger while you play it. But for all that about the 2000, and also the 2000 comes with some really funky colors, especially from Japan. Japan had so many awesome colors for the 2000, while the 1000 really just came in, I believe, black and white, I think, was the only models you had for the 1000. While, again, the 2000, there's black and white and red and blue and purple and all those funky, funky colors that you get in Japan a lot of times. But as awesome as the 2000 model looks, the one thing you can't beat with it is the 1000 model's OLED screen that looks insanely impressive. And with the 2000 model, they stripped that out and they put an LCD screen in there, which looks okay. But the OLED of the 1000, hands down, makes the choice. That's the one you got to go for, okay? Because that screen just looks so fucking nice. And when you actually put a 1000 and 2000 back-to-back and compare the screen, you can just see how vibrant the colors pop off the 1000 model. That OLED is so beautiful. And so for me, that's where I would lean to get the 1000 model. That should be your primary way to play Vita. Now, if you want to get a 2000 for a color, a cool looking color, and they do look great and they feel amazing. Like it is much lighter. I will say the 1000 after you play for a couple of hours, it gets a little heavy in the hand, but the 2000 feels great. It's really, really sleek and it doesn't feel cheap either, even though it is slimmer. So if you see those out there in the wild and they're at a good price, pick one of those up as well. But I would not make that my primary PS Vita. And, while there's the 1000 and the 2000 model, there is another accessory that they came out with back in 2014 that's called the PSTV, which you could actually hook up to your TV and play Vita games through your TV and hook up a PS3 or PS4 controller and play games either off the Vita cartridge or off of PSN now. You could play some PS3 games that were on there and there are about 100 compatible Vita games you can play. Now, obviously, any games that use a touchscreen, the touchpad, the camera, the gyroscope, those you can't use on the TV. But again, 100 games you can play on the Vita on your TV. Pretty cool. Unfortunately, they didn't sell a lot of those, and those are starting to creep up in price and become rather collectible. So, you can only play a fraction of the Vita games anyways, so I wouldn't recommend it unless you see it in the wild for super cheap, but just wanted to let you guys know that that model does exist, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's an innovative idea that Sony had to have a little hub where you can not only play games, but you could stream off of that little PS TV and watch Netflix and stuff. So it was a cool little thing they came out with, for sure. So you find your model. Like I said, 1,000 model is the one I would suggest. And now we have to get into buying a memory card, because unfortunately, it doesn't have onboard storage. So you do have to have a memory card if you buy a 1,000 model. And now you have to determine how much am I willing to spend. So how big of a memory card do I really need? And how much blood do I need to sell to buy one? I would say 16 gigabytes is your start. Because what's great about the Vita is the games on the PSN store are relatively cheap. They're not that expensive. Now, some Vita games are, for some reason, those have not come down. But PS1 classics and PSP games that are on the PSN store are relatively cheap. And so you could stack up on games digitally if that's what you're about. And getting a 16 gigabyte memory card is a great launch pad on, you know, getting downloading a bunch of games. So if you see that, I would go for that. But ideally, in all honesty, I would spend the money and get a 32 gigabyte out there. And I will say the thing about PS Vita memory cards is, like, they never, even though they were expensive when they first came out, like, they didn't get more expensive. Like, sometimes they got a little cheaper. I've seen some that are not that bad of a deal. So you could definitely pick one up for an affordable-ish price, but unfortunately you're gonna have to buy one at some point. So if you're gonna go ahead and do it, go big or go home. So 16 gigabytes or 32 are where I would start off, or where I would go if I'm going for a memory card. Now we gotta get into the games, because this is what I really want to talk about. This is why I fucking love the Vita. They just have so many great games, so many unique games. Now the one thing about the Vita is it's very Japanese-centric. It was very Japanese-centric. So the majority of the great games you will find on there are a lot of JRPGs, a lot of action RPGs, a lot of visual novels. Those are games that were on the Vita aplenty. So a lot of great games. And the PSN store has a lot of great deals for those games because, unfortunately, like I mentioned earlier on in this podcast, people are starting to get onto this Vita thing and realize how awesome it was. And just like when it came to the Saturn or the Dreamcast or even the Wii U that's creeping up now, when people start realizing that a system that failed was really, really good, prices for everything go up because, unfortunately, there wasn't that many out there to begin with. And so with that fact, what's already out there then becomes more expensive because there's a limited resource. And that's what's been going on when it comes to Vita games. Like, I did a little research before I obviously did this podcast, and I looked up some prices of games that I own to see how much they cost. And I'm just going to tell you, I own about 50 Vita games physically, and I can honestly tell you I didn't spend more than $20 on any game in my collection when it comes to the Vita, other than, like, a couple of limited run games. But outside of that, didn't spend more than $20. And I looked up just a couple of games, just some random games to see how much they cost. For instance, there's a game called Lost Dimension that I really love. It's a great action RPG I highly recommend. I think I bought that game for $10. I looked it up on eBay. Starts off at $100. Okay, so these games are going up in price. It's starting to get a little crazy. So that's why I mentioned before, get a big memory card, because you might have to rely on digital copies to get these games now, because they're just so expensive to get physical copies of them. But hey, all I know is there's a lot of great games. And when it comes to a console, what's the most important part are the games. And there are a lot of great ones for the PS Vita. And to mention a few, Persona 4 Golden, an enhanced remaster, so to speak, of Persona 4 on the PS2. It adds more content, more characters. It's just a fucking great game. Definitely buy it. Killzone Mercenary, an awesome FPS. I mean, a triple A, great looking, great game. that I highly recommend that it's even a marvel that they were able to put that on a handheld. Like, I know we have the Switch now, so people can play Skyrim and The Witcher 3 on handheld, but we got to think about, like, what the fucking Vita was. The Vita, I mean, was super powerful. I always call it, like, a PS, like, 2.5. You know, like, I call the PSP, like, the PS 1.5 because, like, it looked better than PS1, but it didn't look as good as PS2. The Vita games, they don't look as good as PS3, but, man, they look phenomenal. And Killzone Mercenary is an example of a beautiful-looking game on the Vita. Another, I would say, holy grail game, the holy grail games for the Vita would be the Danganronpa trilogy. And guys, when these games came out and when I started collecting for the Vita, these were the high price games. It's funny how things work now, because those games are not that high price anymore, and it's other games I would not think about for the Vita that are now more expensive. But back in the day, getting Danganronpa games, I mean, those games cost like 60, 70 bucks a piece. And they've actually dropped a little bit in price. But they're visual novel games, super fun. People love them. I've played the first one a little bit. It's cool. Visual novels, not my style really. But for what it is, it's a really, really, really great game, great story, and just a witty writing, I'll say. The writing for that game is really, really good. So Danganronpa, I would get into that. Gravity Rush, a great action adventure game. Lost Dimension, I mentioned before, a great action RPG. Tearaway, which is also on the PS4, but I feel like on the PS Vita, they used everything, the touchpad on the back, the touch screen, the camera, the gyroscope. They really, it's almost like Astrobot on the PS5. So it was almost like a tech demo of like what the Vita could really do. And then last but not least, Uncharted Golden Abyss is another great, great, great AAA game. I mean, it is essentially Uncharted on a handheld, and they didn't take any shortcuts to make it work. Now, they did use some of those Vita things, gimmicks, the touchpad and the touchscreen, and they didn't do it as well as Tearaway. They're kind of annoying. Like, they kind of just shoehorned them in just to say, hey, like, the Vita can do this, so just want to let you know. But outside of that, it is legitimately an Uncharted game handheld, which is a marvel. I mean, those games are massive and really, really fun to play. So they did a great job with that. So those are some of the games I would recommend that you play. And to get those games, I would recommend really two spots that I know of right now that you can buy Vita games for a fairly decent price. And the first one would be Mercari that I mentioned in the first episode. That's an app. It's spelled Mercari, Mercari. And there are a lot of great Vita deals out there. You don't see the extremely high price that you would see on eBay, even though there are some high price Vita games on Mercari. There's a lot of options out there when it comes to Mercari. But it's just because what's out there in retail, it's limited. GameStop, I don't even think they sell Vita games in the store anymore. And online, they barely have them in stock. So you only have a limited resource. And Mercari would be number one. And number two would probably be eBay. The problem with eBay is that, yeah, when you look up some of these games on eBay, they're ridiculously expensive. They're fucking expensive as fuck. And that's just how the Vita is going right now. I'm hoping in the future it goes down. But, you know, collecting right now is a crazy, crazy world, and I don't see that happening right now. So where I would go if you want to get physical games would be Mercari and eBay. But again, beware of the high prices, because that's what you're going to see out there, just because that's what the market bears. And while I'm not the biggest digital guy, and we'll talk about that in a whole other episode when we talk about digital versus physical, but I'm not a big digital guy, so I don't support it really that much. But when it comes to the Vita, that's probably the avenue you should take if you're trying to save money, just because, like I said, these games are fucking expensive nowadays. And so because of that, another suggestion I would make would be imports. There are a lot of import Vita games, and they're really, really cheap, to be honest. They're not that expensive at all. Unfortunately, when it comes to imports, you can only really play, you know, platformers or like rhythm games, games that are not really text heavy, because you're not going to fucking know what's going on unless you can read Japanese, which is awesome. But if you can't, like most of us in America can't, then you're going to probably want, yeah, a rhythm games, platformers, fighters, those are some games I would suggest. And a lot of those games that are imports from Japan are not that expensive. Even the rhythm games, even, you know, those are normally the ones that are expensive because they're the ones that, you know, people who don't speak or read the language can play. Fighters, platformers, normally those are expensive imports. But for the Vita, especially on eBay, not that bad. So if you don't mind having, you know, physical Japanese copies and stuff like that, that's an avenue you can definitely go down to have a really nice, decent Vita collection. I mean, I bought some imports myself, you know, some rhythm games, Hetsune Miku, stuff like that. So that's an avenue I would go down if you're cool with that. But if not, I did, you know, like I said, I'm a man of the people. I'm here for you guys. And your boy did some research to see what were some of the cheaper, you know, English games you could play, not imports. And I found a couple for you guys. And these are some good games. Freedom Wars is a really fun action RPG. You can play online. I don't know if you can still play online. I don't know if the servers are still up. But it's a really fun action RPG. Not very expensive. Final Fantasy X and X-2 Remaster. That's a game that's not too expensive. And you get two huge JRPGs in one. So that's great. Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. That's another game I looked at online that was not that expensive that you could buy. That's really, really fun. So there are some things out there that you can play and buy that are not massively expensive. But for the most part, from what I've been seeing, you know, they're a little up there in price. So it's unfortunate. And that's, again, that's just kind of how collecting is going right now, especially with the pandemic. That's just kind of how it's been. But, you know, that it is what it is. And at least you kind of know what's out there. And I made you guys aware of what to look forward to when you want to collect or if you want to collect for the Vita. I think still it's the greatest handheld of all time. I love it. I'm so glad I got into it. I'm happy I got into it. I played the fuck out of that game, out of that console. And another game I meant to bring up, Trails of Cold Steel, that series on there. Super fun JRPGs, even though they're crazy expensive to buy too. So yeah, that is going to be my PS Vita collecting guide. So I hope you guys go out there, get some Vitas, get some games, realize how fucking awesome this handheld was, and that, unfortunately, just like a lot of consoles that fail, you know, it was the wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Like, it just wasn't the time for it, and people just weren't ready for it. And I think, you know, the Switch has shown that handheld gaming and the 3DS and stuff, the handheld gaming ain't dead, but if you just have to do it the right way, and they did some things wrong. But ultimately, while they did some things wrong, they did so many more things right. And I just wish that it had that commercial success that it deserved, because it really was innovative for its time. And again, playing it in 2022 or 2021, geez, going back to the future, 2021, it still holds up to this day. So go out there, play some Vita, have some fun, collect. And give me some feedback if you guys do get a Vita, and tell me what you guys like about it, what you don't like, some of the games that you bought, some of the pros and cons for collecting for it, what you guys see out there. I love hearing you guys. I love talking to you guys. So hit me up at blinkingnintendo.buzzsprout.com. That's going to be the hub of the podcast, kind of like the main website. But also, you guys, check me out on Instagram and Twitter at blinkingnintendo. So to wrap things up, thanks again for the listen. Hope you guys go out there and collect some awesome Vita stuff. I love you guys. Y'all are the best. You guys have a great day. Till next time, stay tuned.